So I guess I wanted to tell you the other day, I got my car registered, or no, I got
inspected. Fascinating.
I know.
No.
It's riveting, isn't it? I got my car inspected because I was like, oh dude, like I'm not going to let my registration go for a long ass time again. Or, you know, not that I ever have, but like,
I'm
going to be responsible. And I went and I got my car inspected and I went to the website to fill out my registration and it's like, you're not eligible for online. I'm like, of course. So I'm going to get pulled over. I'm going to have to explain to the officer, like, I'm not eligible to register. I got to go into HEB and I haven't got to do it yet. Finally called registration yesterday. I was on hold for about 20 minutes. Lady was nice. She's like, let me see what's going on. Tapping, and then she's like, do you have a brand new car? I'm like, in fact, I kind of do. And she's like, she goes, you have a 2-year registration on there. And I'm like, what? She goes, they should have told you that at the inspection. I'm like, so I just paid to get my car inspected for no reason? She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, thanks. I don't know why I told you that. Remember me telling
you
about?
They're damn sure not going to tell you that when you're paying to get it inspected. Be like, oh, hey, you don't have to be here, bro.
I don't know why I told you all that.
I appreciate you telling me that. It kind of reminds me of that time we were at HEB and that dude said, do you have your Social Security card? And I said, I've got the number. And he said, I need to see the card. And I said, who the fuck carries a Social Security card? And he said something. And I went, man, fuck you. And I walked off and he looked at you and said, that's the reason why people shoot up businesses.
Yeah. You told me that.
Me. Yeah. I'm the guy. I'm the fucking reason. Get out of here.
He looked at me and told me that one time. Dude, yeah, I feel like I've been compared to somebody said that about me before, but it wasn't that bad. I don't know. Maybe I was like going hysterical and like throwing stuff at the wall and just like ripping and tearing things apart. No, that's not true either.
No, I just feel like I'm excited for today too. So welcome to an all new episode. Let's hit that intro, huh?
Oh, shit. Dude, I'm just like, I've been having a day, a good one.
It's a nice shirt.
Thank you. Alright. Alright, what's up everybody? Welcome to another episode of I Didn't See It But I Believe You. I'm Doug.
I'm Joel, and this is episode 160. If it's been a couple weeks since you joined us, you may not know that this week starts a very exciting new path for us. We're gonna start having guests on every once in a while. And I don't just mean like random people. I mean, we went out of our way to use some of the people that we know and finally bring him into the fold. We're not entirely square people. I think Doug and I both have a pretty nice amount of people in our lives who have done pretty cool shit. And I'm excited to bring them on so they could talk about the shit that they've done that's cooler than what we do. Today, we're going to bring on Josh Schaefer, who is the creator of a very cool film-centric and VHS-centric website and magazine called Lunch Meat, along with a lot of other just cool shit that he's done. He'll be on with us in a few minutes. That's going to be awesome. I know Doug's got a bunch of people lined up.
Jesus, Joel. I mean, I know I started this off with the fucking dud and just being all over the place, but man, I do not. You are just like talking like NPR right now, and it is.
Is this not NPR?
Relax.
Nasty porno radio.
Did you ever listen to, or were you like one of those people? You know, there's always people who are like, I only listen to NPR.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. Do you know what the options were? If you want to hear talk radio in Austin, the options were the channel that played Rush Limbaugh, the channel that had The Woody Show, and then NPR. So it was NPR.
I didn't realize NPR was a talk radio show. I thought it was like just play like indie rock and stuff like that, right?
No, they don't really play music. It's like
It's not an AM station, though, is it? It's an FM station, isn't it?
No, it's a very popular FM station that's nationwide.
What station?
In Austin, 97.1 or 93.7. 97.1, I believe.
What's it up there?
96.9, I think. It's National Public Radio, right? It's like PBS for the radio.
Yeah.
Right. So like PBS, they're not beholden to any like real government entity or whatever. So I assume that's why people think they skew a certain way. I don't know. They're boring as shit, but they're calming.
Hey, dude, there was a time where I drove a 77 Ford Maverick and all I listened to was AM radio and Coast to Coast AM. Listened to it every night.
Is that the art? Was that when Art Bell was when they were playing the Art Bell reruns, or when they were doing the Nori? Nori was all right, but he would always get into the real weird right wing shit towards the end. Like, I was like, yeah. Everything kind of.
Everything that he said that he had to talk about, every guest he had was an explanation for why God and Jesus exist.
Like, dude, it was nuts.
He didn't like actually say that. He was more like, so with this evidence, you're saying angels are real. And they're like, well, not necessarily. It's like, yeah, stuff like that.
He's like, Jesus Christ, I knew it. Yeah, dude, I don't know. Coast to Coast was dope, but you really can't top Art. Art was just, there was something, dude, right before we moved, they were doing, because during COVID, I don't think they did any new episodes. And they were playing all repeats of Art's shit. And I listened to Art's episode on 9/11. And man, it was wild, bro. He was like,
I mean, I don't even know if it's still a thing now. I know they came out with like an app, but that was before, that was before the pandemic, and it was just like, it was a subscriber app. So, you know, it's like, I'm not going to pay for Coast to Coast AM.
No, fuck no. It's got AM in the title. You'd have to rename that shit Coast to Coast Pro or something like that. Why didn't they just name it Pro?
I don't know.
I gotta grab another drink before we have somebody on. Hold on.
The baby's thirsty. Baby needs his bottle. There's Rocky in the background. For all those listening, thank you for listening, and I appreciate you listening. But you can watch us on YouTube at the end of the video. We'll be able to click and subscribe above my head. I would say you do it now, but I don't know how to do that. And if I were to find out how, it'd probably take up too much time, and I would ask Joel, which means it definitely won't get done. But Joel's been getting a lot of stuff done lately, so I don't know. Maybe this will be the first time. Doubtful. Dude, cool shirt, man.
Hey, thanks, dude. Where'd you get it?
So I got this shirt because you see how this like stuck in my fat roll? And it's like, so like Joel got this shirt years ago at a Walmart, and I was fucking so jealous that I went to that Walmart, the same exact one, the same exact day as I saw his post, and I bought this one. This is the last one. There's a lot of them though. There was like, but this is the only one that like, I remember all the other ones like was like Friday the 13th, and it was like set it. This is like the this one. I don't know if they ran out of ink or they're like, we're gonna make one really cool.
There was another one. So, and the other one's so stupid. So the other one was Michael Myers, just the mask. And then it had two knives. I've never seen this design before, like crossed underneath them real small. And I was like, yo, this is kind of sick. And so I bought it for Caroline. I bought her like an XXL. And I was like, that's dope how it doesn't say Halloween anywhere on it. And then I looked at the tag and I realized it's because it was Halloween Resurrection, which is arguably like the worst one. It's the one I was making fun of with my shirts last night. Those crashed and burned. P.S. Anyway, those fucking things got shared. I'm just gonna throw this out there. Those fucking things got more engagement share wise than a lot of the shirts I got. Zero sales. I don't blame them. It's kind of dumb. Sorry.
So since we're not wearing the same, I don't want to be wearing the same. I'm going to change real quick.
BRB. Cool. You go grab that. And then when you come back, we'll intro Josh. Dudes, I'm really excited for this new shit. Legitimately, like, you know, it's going to go down how, and I didn't see it, but I believe you interview, you know, is likely to go down.
I gotta say, we've had some duds for intros and episodes and all, but man, today was pretty duddy. I think it's just because I'm nervous. That we have our first.
Are you, first you're guest. Nervous?
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous that we just get it right, that it doesn't, that it's that we don't. I know the conversation is good, but I don't think that we're great at running things.
That's for sure. And then it's like, but we're finally like bringing somebody into our fold that's like, you know, not like, you know, a phone call or one of our best friends or my fiance, you know. So it's just like, it's exciting. I got bubbles in my stomach. Or wait, what's that question? What's that expression?
Butterflies. Butterflies. But anyway, I just told him to come back in. So when he comes back, we'll introduce him to everybody. But I think the term you're looking for is butterflies in the stomach, but bubbles.
Yeah. Should we? Bubbles. Go ahead.
I want to say, well, bubbles is also something that you could have in your stomach. If you've, you know, if you got like bubble guts or whatever.
Do you want a track for him to come in here?
No, don't. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to do all that. I promise. Hey,
what's up, man?
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Josh Schaefer, creator of Lunch Meat, friend of mine. And we're excited to have him here. Thanks for being here, dude.
Yeah, man. And shout out to my co-creator, Ted Gilbert. We made that magazine together. So, yeah, but thank you for having me. I'm just excited to hang out with you guys, talk some tapes.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited, too. I was just telling Joel that I've got like butterflies in my stomach. You're our first like official guest, man. I really appreciate you doing this.
Oh yeah, I mean, wow, what an honor. First one, right?
Yeah, dude.
Here we go.
To be seen by tens of people, maybe even 12s of people. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Hang it,
so. No, I appreciate that. So, Joel, I gotta say, from Joel being my best friend since we were like knee high, well, since we were kids, like Joel has this fascination with VHS is something that I am, the only reason I even am aware of it is because of Joel, but this is years ago now, so I'm hyper aware of it to an extent now. I know more about VHS than your other average dude walking down the block now, or the resurgence or anything, but I just realized, I was like, Joel just likes VHS, and I'll like be like out of state or something, and I'm like, hey, is this VHS cool? And he's like, yes, get it. Or like, is this VHS cool? He's like, no, I have 20 of them. I'm like, why do you have 20 of these VHS? And then finally, like throughout the years, Joel's Instagram and everything. I'm like, oh, it's not just you. And he's like, no. And just like, and that's kind of like something that to this day, just like, it's incredible. This whole like comeback of VHS. I'm not doing any justice by any means, because again, I'm the outside looking in on this conversation, but at the same time, I was just like, Joel's like, oh, there's a dude named Lunch Meat VHS, you gotta check him out. I'm like, what? I'm like, this is insane. It's this whole entire sector. It's pretty cool.
That's one thing that I love. You've managed to put VH in front of anything that involves an S, and it fucking works.
It's so ridiculous. Like, I love that it caught on. Like, it just, honestly, like, that came from back in the boards. This dude named Ed McHale used to do it, right? And it was, like, just, this was way back in the day, like, I don't know, 12, 10 years ago on Horror VHS Collectors Unite. And I don't know, we just got VH silly with it. People did it. And I just started using it in the copy. And it's,
VH Snackin' is the title of your podcast, and it's that's just so good. Tell us, could you break down kind of how the creation of Lunch Meat went and like how you and Ted came together to do that? Like, just kind of give us the rundown on that, just so people can know the skinny on it.
Yeah, so I was in my mid-20s working at a place called Relapse Records in the mail order, and just kind of, you know, doing the metal label thing and, you know, having fun. And Ted started working there too. And, you know, we'd chat as we're packing packages and things like that. And we just started talking about, like, how we love these weird movies and we have these tapes. And then when we're just like, oh, man, cool. And then we started writing for this catalog called Resound that Relapse used to put out. And we would, like, review the horror movies that we sold in the mail order. And then one day we were like, let's just do our own thing. Cause I had my own label at the time. I was working at the label. There was a lot of productive creativity around me. You know what I mean? So like, we're like, man, we want to make a zine. Let's do it. So we made a zine where we reviewed movies that were only available on VHS tape. And we just,
what was that, like 2008?
Yeah. I think it was like 2007, 2008. Yeah. And a good buddy of mine, John Kennedy, really helped us out, helped us design everything. Cause I didn't even really use Photoshop back then, man. I'm all like, you know, now I'm all like in it every day, but like, it's, you just got to, if you want to make your own stuff, man, you got to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that Joel's been taking. Like, I'm really proud of him. He's like been getting better. Like, Joel's been working on his stuff on Photoshop, and thank God he's doing it, because it's getting pretty damn good at it. Or for, you know, for the short amount of time he's been doing it. Well, how long have you been doing it, Joel? Fucking your whole life. And now you're just finally looking good
just
at
finally
it.
Turn that corner where they look like things. That's the thing though. Like, it's, he's right. Like, dude, I didn't really ever consider myself like interested in getting down with any kind of computer program. That's just not the kind of person I am. But that if you want to do anything, like Photoshop must be understood at least a little bit. Like even to make our thumbnails for this shit, I have to understand a little bit of Photoshop. It's just one of those things, I think, and kids coming up seem to just know it, you know? It's like, yeah, we're kind of getting left,
you know, all everything in the palm of their hand now. And it's like, I mean, I can't design like that. I mean, but there's a lot of filters and it's all different now. But yeah, this was like 2006 or no, 2007, 2000. I don't know. Somewhere
it's right. it's almost analog Photoshop because it was so much more complex and complicated back then. It really is sort of the, like, I imagine if you put the Photoshop from May in like 05 to 05 to 2010 in front of a kid, they would probably look at it and be like, what the fuck is this?
I don't know. I've always gotten it gradually. So I don't know, but no, man, we just made a zine. That's really all it is. And it just kept growing and growing. And you know, it was just so much fun. And you brought it up, connecting, Doug, with the community, you know what I mean? Like, that's what helped grow Lunch Meat, like, through the years, both through exposure and just, like, giving me the energy and the focus to do it, just connecting with other people that were, like, interested in this stuff, like, seeing the community grow and putting on events and, like, having people come out and just see the other people, like you said, were, like, are into VHS tapes, and it's this kind of, like, it's more than just VHS tapes. It's like the movies, it's the culture. It's, you know, there's a lot of crossover culture inside of this. But just knowing that like people had the same kind of like weird interest as me or like weird passion or obsession.
Yeah.
It was so specific, right? Like VH specific.
but I like what you say that there's like this crossover because like, you know, I don't collect VHS, but somebody told me to the left of me, they collect VHS. I know from that little detail from a stranger, I'm like, we're probably not going to talk about VHS, but there is definitely something we're going to talk about and get along talking about it because like, there's like, cause yeah, if you're collecting VHS, you're probably like, you probably listen to old school metal or something. You probably fucking play video games. You probably listen to weird podcasts. You probably know every serial killer's fucking name, you know? So I don't know. I'm just saying, it's just like when somebody's like, oh, I collect VHS. I'm like, I feel like I know you. I mean, I don't collect VHS, but you just told me a lot about yourself just by that. And well, I know that because of Joel really. And then obviously everybody I met through it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I know one thing that me and Josh have talked about recently, and it comes up a lot. I'll always DM you about this is the rise of mainstream VHS culture and how that's become just so prevalent. And like you see, like you have the Last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon, which is almost at this point a national institution on like a real level. I mean, it gets talked about in the news. They were talking about it on Kimmel. And, you know, it's like if something hits Kimmel.
Family Guy? Cartoons?
Yeah, dude. They did a whole episode of Family Guy. And it's bizarre. I think, was it you who posted that you can get, and I guess this is more like because of Stranger Things, but there's Family Video employee costumes for Halloween this year.
Yeah. That's so fucking awesome. I mean, it's, the nostalgia is huge right now, and I think it's partly of the nostalgia, and like, but yeah, it is everywhere. I mean, I see it everywhere. People are using VHS aesthetics on everything. You know,
yeah.
In the NFL, they have like rewind and it says, you know, rewind in the top. Just all of these analog aesthetics, you know, just bleeding into mainstream media. And it's really fun to see. So
I agree, man. I like that's your attitude on it. You know, like, I mean, just like with any other community of like niche interest or what have you, like, I know we all know there's some people in every community and in ours as well that are just sort of resistant to anything like that. This is their baby, their secret, you know, but I love seeing this being embraced. It makes me feel, I don't know, like it makes me feel happy to see. It's comforting to see people because it doesn't feel right to gatekeep something like anything, but it really doesn't feel right to gatekeep movies, man, and to gatekeep like memories and nostalgia. And like everyone went to that fucking video store, dude. Everyone did that if you're a certain age. And I think everyone misses that.
Dude, gatekeeping, just to go back on what you're saying with that, Joel, like gatekeeping, like, yeah, that is kind of, I feel like it's not near as, I think so with the age of the internet and stuff, it doesn't, you don't really hear about it too much as you used to when you were kids or whatever, when you like went through the freaking CDs at freaking Hastings or whatever music store. And like, you know, you earned to find that and you earned that to be your favorite band or whatever. Now it's so widely available. I feel like gatekeeping's not near as, you know, a pain in the ass as it used to be. And like, yeah, these communities and stuff, they like, that's something like with it being so big and widely accepted, like, yeah, that's something like to go with Josh saying, that's something that you're obviously really proud of and embrace and want everybody to embrace. Well, both of y'all, really, y'all want people to like, really just like get into VHS.
Just not just memories and movies and yeah, that happy feeling, yeah, man.
Like everything that comes with it. Nostalgia is a great keyword. Dude, and go on to what you're saying. Like, it's like on TV and stuff. Like the one thing a VHS that I have is this fucking box that I got that my fucking aunt gave me. She's like, oh, I know you love Jean-Claude Van Damme. And she like gets me this box and I'm like, oh, you got me VHS of Bloodsport? And I opened it up as a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even the movie. She got it at Walmart or Target. It's a VHS case. I have a Beetlejuice one. Totally. I think I got a Gremlins puzzle that came in a VHS box from Target a couple years ago. And like, I love that stuff, man. I fucking love it. It brings to mind, and this is timely because the fucking adult Happy Meals are in the news right now. I got a couple of them. They're many, many moons ago did the Disney vault toys and that you got your toy in a little clamshell VHS case, man. And it was like so nice. That's so cool.
Yeah, cool. I always want to pick those up, you know, those toys and little Disney clamshells, but they're always like real beat up now, you know.
Yeah, nobody took good care of those.
But those are really cool. But yeah, the adult Happy Meals, I haven't got one yet. My partner has, and they love it. And I don't know, man. I think it's cool, but it's absolutely blowing up right now. Like,
oh, it's nuts! It's nuts.
It's insane.
It's literally at McDonald's.
Party over there right now.
Oh, they're having a good fucking year, man. I waited in line for like an hour and a half yesterday to get what was essentially just an expensive Big Mac. I just wanted the toy, though. They really nailed it with those toys. I mean, they aimed them directly at smoking weed dope heads, and I saw it, and I was like, yeah, dude, yeah, I want toy, this Grimace.
They're already on eBay. Like, it's just, that's a reflection of the culture now, right? But, like, people would wait in line for an hour and a half to buy a new movie, you know, on VHS when it came out.
Yeah.
When it rented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that kind of excitement, you know what I mean? And that's cool. I can dig that. I mean, I don't necessarily need an adult Happy Meal, but I totally get the appeal. And
right.
I probably will get one at one point.
Right.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't want to wait like 2 hours to get one. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, it's certainly not worth it.
The pails?
You know, I feel like if they were going to do the pails, they are fucking up not doing it right now. It seems like that is just a win for them. Now, man.
Those are fucking... Oh, dude, that'd be so... They're not bringing that back? Or they are?
I mean, I
saw a bunch of...
Who knows?
That would be sick.
Maybe they're going to roll later. Maybe that's the second rush.
Yeah.
Nailed it. 400, right? They're like, here's our audience. No, wait a minute. Now it's over.
That would crush.
They'll do it.
Dude, what if it didn't McDonald's? Is it McDonald's that did the VHS tapes that you could buy there? Yeah. Didn't they do something like that?
That's how I bought my first tapes. That deal.
What'd you grab? American Tale and Adam's Family?
World and Adam's Family?
Yeah, dude, same. I think my mom got Ghost, and I got Wayne's World and Adam's Family. And to this day, if I'm at a thrift, I will check all copies of those, whatever, 4 to 6 movies, Field of Dreams, all that, for that little McDonald's emblazoned on the back.
I got a sealed Ghost McDonald's, and it has the McDonald's logo on the shrink wrap, dude.
Oh, it's so good. That's so good.
I was like, I don't need this, but like, I need this.
No, you need that. Like, as somebody, someone who lives in our world, you definitely need that.
All right. So again, from the outside looking in, y'all are two perfect persons to explain this to me. Like this world that, again, love being an outsider. It's just so exciting. It's like riveting to hear about it. It
really riveting.
No, I'm serious. It's like fascinating. But like the Joel's a part of this niche, maybe, or like there's like sub
The Sealed Boys?
No, but like the Jerry Maguire collector or the Speed collector or the Twister collector in Joel. It's like, how did it turn into that? Like, how did it go from being a fan of
this?
Yes, but like, you know what I mean? Joel, like, why do you have a hyper collection, Josh, of fucking just one VHS? Like, yeah. Joel has, it blows my mind. Like, I mean, and I love you, Joel. But it's like, when you like got another Twister, you do your post with all your Twister video VHS. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I don't. I just can't. I get it, but I don't get. It's like something. It's like really complicated for me to think about. I'm like, because like, where do you put them?
It's well, how? They're in there. I have a box, so I have 180 copies of Twister. They're not. At one point, there was an idea to try to, and everyone is always influenced by someone else, right? And it's really hard when you see an idea and you're just like, damn, that's a really cool idea. I don't want to ape it, but I do want to get involved in something like this. And it started with the homie that had the Speed, all the copies of Speed, and he wanted to put them all on a bus and blow the bus up, I guess, is what the articles were saying back then. And I was like, what the fucking... Did he live in the bus?
I thought he lived in a van. I saw okay. these like pictures of the Speed guy in the van, and like this is the only blip. I actually just referenced him in the new issue of Stuck on VHS, so it's so funny you bring that up. But yeah, I mean, I get that. You're seeing other people do it, right? Like, there's people that collect.
Yeah, and
right, yeah,
yeah, and Everything Is Terrible did that Jerry Maguire pyramid, and I think anyone who's done resaling or thrifting for tapes at all knows that there's. And we'll actually, I want to. Segue into something else with this, but we all know there's these tapes that everyone had, your Titanics, your Jerry Maguire's, your Twisters. They were just sort of omnipresent in the home in American homes. And I liked the idea of finding a piece of Americana that's so just at the time widely available and out there. I mean, you can get a copy of Twister for 10 cents all day, baby, all day. Yeah. And like, that's a cheap habit to have.
Joel's trying to control that Twister market. That's
what got it cornered, bro. 10 cents, not a cent more. But, I do think at one point there was more of like, let me build an homage to Twister. And then my wife at the time, my girlfriend, she very quickly reminded me like, what you're actually doing is just filling our house with this one specific tape. And it's not going, you're not building anything. You can't build IKEA couch. How are you going to build a tornado shaped tape tower? So now they live in closets and I have about 50 in the trunk of my car. And you know,
where are they, Joel? Like, where are these damn tapes? You're like, here you go. They're everywhere. They're literally in your car.
They're literally everywhere. But I do want to say, you know what first put that in my head, Josh? This idea that it wasn't just me. We have some friends in the same circles, and one of them is one of my best friends, and he lived in Austin at the time that I was living in Los Angeles, and he would tell me, hey, I'm collecting tapes now. I want to get you. Can I buy some of your old tapes off you? And I was like, just like fucking take them, you know? And I would just give him the tapes. And he was like telling me about you, and he was telling me about Dan, and just a lot of the people who were kind of leading the charge on it all back then. And I remember watching Adjust Your Tracking, where it comes up about the Titanic tape and anything. You were fairly heavily involved in that documentary, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I was there, you know, produced it with Dan and Levi and Matt D from Horror Boobs. And it was kind of
just... Was that a good experience?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, I did a lot of the promotion for it and things like that. And it was very, like, it just felt like we were making an independent documentary. And it just kind of, like, yeah. It's come up on... 10 years or something. Or like,
yeah, wow. It has to be, because I watched it when I lived, I believe I watched it when I still lived in LA, and I was just like, well, it's not just me, it's all these people. Yeah. Like, I point to that as being really, for me, the beginning of all of this, when I realized, like, oh, shit, it's not just me. And also, that's when I first noticed sort of like an uptick in seeing, like, tape trading events and the rise of, like, the Mahoning happening again with everybody headed out there all the time and all that stuff. Do you feel responsible for all this? Do you feel like you guys, that your group at that time sort of started this?
I don't know. I don't really think about it.
No, well, and I mean, it's
Joel, that was a fucking loaded question.
No,
dude.
No, I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is that, like, it is from an outsider perspective. I looked at you guys as like sort of the ones. I don't know. What do they say when?
We were doing a lot of work with it. Like, we were doing events and putting out tapes and putting out magazines and putting out movies. You know, made a documentary. Yeah. And there was a core group of people that were just really passionate about it and took a lot of their artistic and creative inclinations and put it into their love for collecting VHS and like weird cult movies and, you know, just kind of that camaraderie of like, you know, I like all these weird movies and like I like this format. And I really think that's all it was. And I think that it did feel special when it was going on, like when it was happening, you know, because you got to see a lot of like meet a lot of cool people and you got to do like shows at places you never thought you would and things like that. So, and like you see people reading your magazine or saying something about the art that you do and like connecting with it. And I don't know, it was rad, but yeah, it was early, dude. I mean, it was early.
I've always looked up to you dudes for that shit, man. Like that was I feel like I cannot be the only one, you know what I mean? I can't be the only one. But anyway, that being said, there's so much more to it. And what makes it more fun is that you genuinely go deep on these insanely obscure, just fucking bizarre movies, man. So I want to know, like, what are some of your favorite shot on video or just obscure, weird flicks that you've come across? Like, do you have anything that you've just like, that's really fucking got you going? Like where you find a movie and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I just discovered this thing.
Yeah, one that pops up is this. I wrote about it in the last issue, so you might have read about it, but it's this shot on video drug scare film called Heroin Kills. And
yes,
it's like a Polonia Brothers film, but it's like a drug scare film, but like it's not all super like weird like that. It's just, it feels like that. And it's just really, it just blew me away because it's made to be effective, right? But it's shot on video and there's like, you know, this dude, this kid's like puking on himself and like they show him like the opening scene is him just like dead on bed, like covered in puke, you know,
just American Me style.
It's like a real, you know, scare film shot in Maryland in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. And then, I don't know, that was pretty cool finding that. A buddy of mine gave me that at VHS Fest. Let me see what else.
And when you say scare flick, you're meaning like the real gritty, like the Driver's Ed ones, and not like the MCA like Shattered. Well, sure, like Reaper, but like intended to be a little more gritty than like the one I reviewed for you, the Shattered, right? Like intended to be a little more.
No, it's not glossed over at all. I mean, this is a shot on video, homemade movie by people that didn't know how to make a movie, really.
Yeah, dude.
Wanted to, and. You know, it's just a real, like you say, finding these weird pieces. Like, this is one of the reasons why I love VHS is because you find stuff like this where you're like, man, this was a time and place. And, you know, these citizens against drugs, right? Because something horrible happened in their community. So they made a movie about not to do heroin. And even though they didn't really know how to make a movie, they shot it.
Yeah.
On, you know, and like, it's pretty effective at times. Like, it's just a really cool blip of time. You know, and it's video made it possible.
Yeah.
It's like somebody in Baltimore made a shitty, I'm assuming you're referring to, since I'm a little bit out of the loop on this, like Reefer Madness, like those kind of scare you away from drugs kind of videos.
No.
In that vein, I mean, like they're doing it to like teach a lesson.
They are. Like the intention is confused. Like, don't do heroin. Like it will kill you.
Okay.
Like it's a drug, we call them drug scare films, I guess. What other,
you know, I don't, that's what I've referred to them as, but
I don't know. I mean, like,
yeah, think they're not, they're not, it's not snuff, you know, it's not real, but it's designed to make you see the true horrors of something that they want you to not involve yourself with. Right. So think of it like, think of Reefer Madness. If in Reefer Madness, they were shooting heroin and dying and on screen.
Sure.
Yeah.
you brought up the community. Like, going back to the community, like when I first met somebody outside of Joel that was like a part of this lifestyle. Joel, who was it at the freaking anniversary and at the Halloween party?
Oh, Bobby.
No, Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby?
DJ Oh, Chase. No. Dan.
No,
Dan.
He's selling all the stuff.
Yeah,
he's selling all the damn
stuff. Collection yeah. therapy, Dan.
Yeah. So I'm like, Joel and I are put onto this Halloween party at downtown Austin to throw like to host this Halloween show, and it was badass. It was a big turnout, and like it was like me and him dressed up as Beavis and Butthead. Joel did a great job. I kind of just phoned it in because I had just no idea what the fuck we were doing. And then like Joel said, but there's all these vendors and stuff. I'm hammered, and I'm like Joel, go to this table. I'm like, oh, this stuff. Joel's like, introduce. I'm like, just start picking shit up. I'm like, we're buying this. And I bought like probably $150 worth of just stuff. And Joel's like, stop buying this stuff. And Joel's like, I already have that. I'm like, no, I'm buying you this shirt. I bought Joel this Goosebump shirt and everything. And so, and we're covered in green slime. And I'll never forget, wake up the next morning, and I'm like, had no idea where I was. And I'm like, I go to Joel, and I'm like, I go get my car from Joel, and I'm like, hey, where's all that stuff? Joel just goes, I have no idea. I bought all that stuff and just like left it at the venue and never seen it again.
But I think what you were building up to is one of the vendors that we brought was a Blockbuster that was out there at the party. So I don't know if you know Collection Therapy. He was one of the Instagram homies. He had like a whole Blockbuster style logo. We threw it up on the wall, put a bunch of 90s posters up behind him, and just sold tapes, mostly just, you know, like common 50 cent tapes or whatever. But that was a huge, honestly, I think that vendor did better than every other vendor there, including the food vendor, because everybody was just like, fucking tapes, no way. Let me fucking, my mom had this. Like, everybody was stoked by tapes.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know he made at least $150. Yeah, dude, I never getting like, I'm just like, yeah, all this random stuff, excuse me, that I just like, just don't even have. I have one mask. It's like weird mask. And I'm like, and Joel, I just never get the next day. You're like, I have no idea where that stuff is. I'm like, well, I have no idea either.
That's why they shouldn't allow, you shouldn't, they should not have allowed people to be able to pay each other so easily. The invention of Venmo and Cash App has really ruined going out. Cause like, you can't, like, it used to be someone would come up to you and be like, hey man, I'll make shirts. And you'd be like drunk, but hell yeah, dude, I'm gonna check that out. I'll buy a shirt. Now they go, you trying to buy a shirt right now? Here, you can just Venmo me, Cash App me. You're at the bar. Yeah, I'll Cash App you for that shirt.
What the hell are you talking about? You just give them money, Joel.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So actually, I want to bring this up because you have the craziest, weirdest shit, and I brought this up to you earlier. But could you show us the rewinders and tell us about the rewinders?
Oh, these are Bel Airs. There's a ton of them. Okay, ton of rewinders out there, but these are some of my favorite. This is a red Bel Air, right? Tape goes in there, right?
Beautiful.
This is total. Oh, Doug, this is a total nerd moment right here, by the way. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it was a model car.
I got it in blue.
Yes. Of course. Very classy.
Yeah. They also make one in black, which I don't have. But I refuse
to go on
eBay, but I'll come across it sometime.
Is that something that they would like use as like a promo, like to send to the video store to use a rewinder and they see it? Or is that something you bought for your home back in the day?
Yeah, like you would buy it for your home.
Yeah.
Huh. Just couldn't rewind fast enough. Oh, Josh, I got it.
Rewinding's bad for your machine, right? Like, you know, it's if you can use a rewinder, you know, it's kind of a luxury. So you could take a tape out, just rewind it and put something else in right away. You don't got to wait.
Well, Josh, I got a question for you. In your video, Rare VHS Gadgets, Trisonic Manual VHS Rewinder, what was the time that you clocked in to rewind that VHS?
Am I getting a quiz here? Was it like 58 seconds or something?
That is wrong. It's 4:15.
What?
44.15 seconds.
Okay.
See, it's even that's shorter than I remember. Like,
yeah, that's actually not that bad. I got to be honest. When I clicked on that video, I was almost positive that it was going to end with you being like, this should not exist.
3 minutes or something?
Right? Yeah, it takes you half the movie length to do it.
I was watching this, like, well, I got to watch this.
It's fascinating.
We were like, no, let's make everybody watch the whole thing.
I'm going to introduce you to Josh. Check out this video. And then I sent him that one. And then I had other shit to do. And I realized it had been like 2 hours. And I just sent him a video of you rewinding a tape.
Well, in the realm of, like, this is a good question. Is your zine still... you're still putting it out in any way, form, or fashion with the zine? Is it like, right? Didn't you say you started off with the zine?
You know that. I'm in it now.
What? Do you print it?
Yes.
Is it printed?
Oh, yeah.
Let me grab a copy.
We do multiple print magazines.
Well, I don't know if you print it or if you like say online. Dude, I'm sorry, Josh. I'm here to ruin everything.
Man. It's totally cool. Yeah. I'm for sure.
So, like, when you print it, like, is it a mail order? How do you do that?
Just sell them off on the website.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so,
Joel,
here's issue 11.
Thank you. I do know exactly what you're talking about, Joel.
Yes. Very Joel's fancy. Showing it's mad fancy, honestly. Like, comparatively have you guys seen what magazines look like at fucking stores now? They're like $20 and they're just flimsy pieces of shit. They look like higher grade newspaper.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, dude, like printing's getting expensive and it's getting harder, you know, because paper shortages and it's everything. Like machines are starting to break down too, you know, and like,
yeah.
You know, you got to service machines and stuff. Cause I print a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I see it all the time. And, but yeah, I mean, we want to make it nice, you know?
It is very nice. Are you guys printing in-house and binding and everything?
No. We print everything. We go through multiple people to print stuff. We have different producers for different books. We're mainly funneling into one place now, but, you know, we'll see. It always changes. You got to look for competitive stuff, turnaround, accuracy, quality, all that
stuff. And it's and you're also doing, for those who don't know, you offer many things. You've got shirts, keychains, stickers. You guys kind of run the gamut on merch, and it's all very good.
All kinds of stuff. The VHS tapes are
Really your cool. Website.
What's that, Doug?
Oh, I'll just say your website's fucking stacked for sure. I enjoyed perusing to that bad boy. Those shirts are fucking dope, dude.
Appreciate it.
I actually wanted to bring up the first I've got the book. So Stuck on VHS. Could you tell us a little bit about this and what this is and how it came to be?
Sure. Yeah. So this was we got an idea, me and my friend Jackie, who does home video horrors with me as well. I remember that years ago, somebody posted something and it was like, you know, stickers like of the book, like how we did with the book. Mm-hmm. And I remember in an early issue of Lunch Meat, for the inside covers, I just collaged a bunch of stickers. And this was like in 2010 or 11 or 12 or something. And then it just came back to me. I was like, man, I want to do a book like this. And I was working at Alamo at Video Vortex at the time, running Video Vortex, that video store. And one of the production people from Mondo was visiting. And I discussed it with them and they were like, that's a great idea. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. They're like, okay, do it. We'll put it out. And I was like,
fuck yeah.
Can I get that in writing? And they were like, sure, yeah. And they sent it to me. And then me and Jackie put it together. But like, we were collecting those stickers. We got a lot of submissions, man. Like, Stuck on VHS was, you know, a really, like, group effort. You know, we credited everybody. But, like, I mean, it's funny because it's, like, not a lot of people, but a really core group of people, like, submitting a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So we do get submissions all the time. But anyway.
Shit,
so
I still send them in.
Oh, yeah, please do. Like, that's awesome. That's what's awesome. I mean, there's a new issue of Stuck on VHS coming out tomorrow of the magazine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, like, you know, the book, Jackie and I put it together. Jackie did a fantastic job. And we really, you know, we put that book together by ourselves and just gave it to Mondo and they published it. And then,
that's so sick.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah. And I did a little tour for it and everything with VHSTival. And it's great, man. Seeing the way it's been received has been really wild, you know, cause I didn't know if people would be into it or not. You know what I mean? Like, I'm into it.
It's a niche for a niche.
Tells so many stories, you know, and it's video story history. There's just, it's really rich, you know, with you know, aesthetics. And even if you're a designer, you know, looking at these stickers and you're like, wow, yeah. Like, you know, this is good inspiration.
I wonder how many people don't realize, like, you know, aesthetically, the VHS and video store stickers in general were just wildly ahead of their time in aesthetics. Like, they understood, like, how to be eye-catching and get their fucking point across without all the, like, I don't know, just, like, tell me this just doesn't make you feel something, bro. Like, this is so simple, but just the, like, be, fuck me. Just the be kind rewind. Just the rewind. All right, I'm done trying to show shit on here. Every fucking week. Every week I try to show something on here, and it never works. Last week it was this fucking sticker, and nothing works.
Joel's trying to show shit, falls through. I try to tell a story, always falls flat. That's just what we do here. Me too.
Me too. Me three. Guys, what a great adventure this has been.
That is fucking cool.
Yeah, it is. The book is so fucking good. And it's like, man, bro, it's so nice. Like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys are like this, but when I first got my first place, like, obviously I put up like movie stuff and shit, but you get your first coffee table, like when you're not living with a roommate or whatever, and you're like, I got to get a coffee table book, dude. I got to get a book for the fucking coffee table. Yeah. And it's, you go out and all the coffee table books are like Gucci or people on horses. And you're like, man, what the fuck? This kind of sucks. And then here comes this perfect coffee table book. And I throw it on the coffee table and people actually fucking pick it up. I mean, like the two people we've had over, they pick it up and they're like, neat. And
remember that one time, that one dude that gave me that Beatles coffee table book and it like took over my life? Yeah, I got like this coffee table book. I was like young enough and dumb enough. I thought, he's like, dude, read this. It's a fucking coffee table book. And I like read it for like over and over again for like 2 years. And it like changed my life.
Doug was like, hey, you know what? I think I like the Beatles.
Yeah, I was like, coffee table book. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I think I'm going to try drugs. And then I gave it to Cheddar.
And then, yeah, we gave it to a guy named Cheddar, and then he did drugs. Great. Great the way that all worked out.
I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot to learn in a coffee table book.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you guys noticed this, but you're both wearing Hellraiser Pinhead shirts.
Did you guys? Oh, yeah. We were wearing the same exact one.
Wow.
So what happened was I came on wearing this one, and he had on that one, but we both own this one. And so while you were gone, he actually went and put on this one, and we did the beginning of the show wearing the same shirt. And then he went and changed into this other Pinhead shirt.
It was, yeah, I have a collection of Pinhead shirts.
There, and so interestingly enough, these are from Walmart 10 years, 8 years ago, $5. Walmart had these Hellbound, or no, that's Blood on Earth. Yeah. Or Hell on Earth, that's whatever
cool,
this
man.
One's called.
I mean, it's a cool shirt.
Hey, thanks, dude.
This is a toy snob, this one.
Yeah, that one's toy snobs. That one's, you know, clearly way nicer. Dude, okay, so you also put out VHS, which is like, a lot. And we've talked a little bit about like licensing and how that works and stuff, but I was really surprised to see that you guys got We're All Going to the World's Fair. Which I found it's that movie is going to, something fantastic is going to have to come out to knock that out of like my top three for the year. Like I thought it was fucking fantastic. I just loved to see that. How did that come about? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them?
Yeah, we had a prior relationship with Utopia. So
okay.
We worked with a couple of their movies, Crestone and things like that. And, you know, I really like working with them. Kyle's great.
Yeah, totally. And, totally.
So, I mean, it's just putting stuff out, you know, you get connected with people and I'm putting out some really excited stuff like I never thought, you know, we could do, you know? So, I mean, one like that is, are you familiar with this movie Minding the Gap?
I am very familiar with it. Yes.
So we're putting that on tape.
And, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
That's fantastic. You
know, you take film. Okay, wait, hold on. You take movies that you didn't make,
yes.
And you get the rights. Wait, is that a licensing deal?
Yeah.
to do that, to put it onto VHS? How's that work? Whatever. Wait, hold on. I'm so fucking confused. So you take, you put out movies strictly on VHS.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah, sure. They distribute movies. They distribute movies. So Minding the Gap is a documentary from, what, 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and We're All Going to the World's Fair is an indie from this year. You guys did, so this one threw me off. You guys did a flick called Split, and so now I know what that is, and that's wild. It's
did
wild.
You think it was the newer Split?
I did because I was like, huh, this seems like a very artsy like take on what the themes of that movie are. And I was just like, what the fuck? Insane. Because
it was insane.
Yeah. So, but because of that, I dove into that and found out more about that movie. And yeah, dude, I mean, you guys put a lot of really fun stuff out there. A lot of, you guys have a handful of documentaries out there at this point. But then you guys have been doing like, you guys did Donnie's Bar Mitzvah and I haven't watched that yet, but I've heard that's very funny throwback to like early 2000s movies.
Yeah, totally awesome, like gross out comedy.
Yeah, which I missed the shit out of those, frankly.
Yeah,
for sure. And then you guys did the Rent-A-Pal, which fucking blew me away as just a movie anyway. And I just thought that one was so cool because the way you guys did it was like an actual, like the tape in the movie, which in the movie you can rent this VHS tape, Doug, called Rent-A-Pal, and Will Wheaton comes on your TV and becomes your friend.
Badass. I just thought you're like Doug. I'm like, I'm listening. I hear you.
I just felt like that. I felt like that was a movie that might have flown under Doug's radar.
You know, to be fair, I did tell Joel, I was like, you know, obviously I'm gonna be a fly on the wall in this one. I'll chime in when I can or whatever. But I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm sorry. I'm excited for this. This is pretty cool. I love all that. It's like, man, this is so cool. Like,
you're just so joyful. And I love that. And you're so joyful.
I'm smiling this whole time. And today I'm so joyful. And then like, but you've been doing this so long. I was thinking you're like, you're kind of, and you've been so passionate and you've been working so hard on it. Obviously you, and what was your partner's name that does this with you?
Ted Gilbert.
Ted. It's like, it's just fascinating. Like, it's like, it seems like it's just hard to put into words. Like, it's like fascinating. It's like, this is like y'all's life.
It's a different world. It's you in the bars. It's you in your industry.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I hyper respect it. And I'm just like, it's like inspiring, really. It's like, dude, this is fucking cool. Like, I just didn't know, like, because when I talked to Joel, he's just like, yeah, I got another VHS. I'm like, of course you did. He's like, oh, there's another, this is an Instagram post. I'm like, cool. I'm like, sweet. And like, but hearing this end of it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. And it's like, I love it. It's fucking cool. I just think it's so fascinating. Y'all get back at it. Of course. Y'all two get back at it. I'll just.
Well, I have less is less of a movie or lunch meet or VHS question at all. You're located on the East Coast. Could you tell us where on the East Coast you're located?
Oh, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina now.
Cool. Okay. What are your favorite foods of Raleigh, North Carolina? We got to get into the foods, man. We got to find out if he's a corn doggy guy or what.
I mean, dude, Raleigh has a lot of restaurants. Like, it is a food and beverage city to me. Like, there's so many restaurants, so many bars, right? But my favorite food, I like fast food, dude. I'm a total like junk food dummy.
Yeah.
Like,
same food, same.
Wait, what is it? Y'all have Checkers, or is it Raleigh?
Though I did it once. I did it twice when I lived in Philly, and neither time like the food, it just didn't work out good. So,
well, you know that Carl's Jr., Checkers, and Raleigh are all essentially the same thing.
Yeah,
but they just
and Hardee's too.
Hardee's, yeah.
Or Hardee's too.
Isn't Hardee's like
so weird?
One brand, like the top brand.
I think that Hardee's is the original. And interestingly enough, all the Carl's Juniors in Austin got closed in 2019, and there are none here either in the DFW region. Which leads me to believe that we're either getting a resurgence of Hardee's soon, or they're just getting rid of them in our area. Which fascinating, I know, but it's something I've picked up on.
There's a fucking fast food joint in North Texas, Josh, that I think anybody should go just to see how bad it is.
Oh, I know it's coming.
Brahms. It's called Brahms, dude. It is probably the worst. I just need to put it out there.
Do you know
the
Brahms? Worst this feels like you know Brahms.
No, it's just the way I'm. The way you're delivering it, I need all of this.
Oh, it's fucking horrible. We have Pete Terry's down here, which I love. So,
Brahms, the problem with Brahms is it positions itself and advertises itself as this sort of ice cream parlor, right? So you go expecting, I mean, their fucking logo is an ice cream cone. So you go and you're like, I'm going to get some fucking ice cream. And you walk in and it's like tamales and chili and burgers. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And so like I came and I got ice cream and a bunch of tamales for Christmas. And then everyone in my extended family got food poisoning. And so now we don't do Brahms for anything except for their ice cream. But Doug hates that they exist at all.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
it is.
So how's the food in Raleigh?
It's better. I haven't gotten food poisoning. I love Cookout. Like Cookout's kind of
a chain? No.
Burger. It's like a burger place, but they do these trays. Oh my god, they have a very extensive menu.
Cookout. Let me see if I can get Cookout up on the screen here.
Well, you mentioned Relapse earlier. So are you from Raleigh?
No, I'm from I was born in like South Jersey and I moved to Philly when I was like 18, 19 and I lived there for a very long time.
Did you move to Raleigh for the music scene and to start working at is a Relapse based out of Raleigh?
No, Relapse is based out of Philly, Upper Darby.
Oh, Philly. Okay, but Raleigh has like a serious like metal scene, doesn't it?
There's bands that play. I mean, honestly, like not as much as I want.
Where am I thinking of? Maybe I'm thinking of Virginia.
No, I think you're thinking of Rhode Island.
No, I think I'm thinking of Virginia. Where's like Municipal Waste and everybody from?
I thought they were. Are they from Virginia?
I don't know, man.
Virginia. I don't know, man.
God damn it!
Who are your favorite bands right now?
My favorite bands right now. What the fuck?
Yes.
I don't know. It's crazy. It's weird. Like I just kind of listen. I've been listening to Blink 182.
Yes, dude.
Fuck yeah.
What else? I listen to IDK. I like him.
Okay. Blink 182. I don't think I'll ever stop. Frankly, it wasn't a phase. It was just honestly what I liked.
Honestly,
dude. If y'all like power metal, like you know, like. There's this band called Summerland. No, there's a band called Summerlands that just came out with a new album called Dream Killer, actually released on Relapse. It is fucking sick. It is like it just makes you want to. Oh, dude, just makes you want to like get on the hood of your car and just like have somebody get in the driver's seat and just be like, just hit it. It's fucking awesome. It's fun as fuck.
I can tell you what I've been listening to, Joel.
Yes, do it.
Okay, so I got 80s love songs playlist.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Love it.
Impetigo.
Okay.
Sanatorium. Soft Cell. Korn. Devourment.
Hell yeah.
Which is like an old pop punk band. Slick Shoes. Lagwagon. More old pop punk bands. Between the Buried and Me. JPEG Mafia. Cloud Kicker. Beastie Boys. Soundgarden. Rat. Pantera.
Love it.
Oh, hell yeah.
You and Doug could have done a whole episode just talking about music, and I would have played the Doug role just being in the back like, yeah, I've heard of Pantera. Yeah.
Everything you said, I'm like, fuck yeah. Do you have a playlist? Does Lunch Meet have a playlist on Spotify?
No, but I should, right?
You fucking should. Dude. That would – a VH Spotify?
Dude,
please VH build songs. A playlist. Dude, VH Songs, there you go.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, what's this thing – what the fuck are you talking about? You put an S.
VH Silly or VH Snackin' or VH Sex.
Yeah, I fucking love it. Oh, so.
You could put VH in front of it, you know? Like VH.
Yeah.
Oh, so if I go to my fiance tonight, I'm like, hey, you want to have some VH Sex?
Yes, exactly. and then you can do like, go to a VA, go to church for a VH service. You know what I'm saying? Like it works. Okay. You don't really have to be careful about how you use it. You can use it wherever.
Like, oh no, my VH syphilis.
Yeah. Say I'm wherever the doctor's you like, you're, the doctor goes, "You're dying," and you're like, "Is it VH serious?"
Dude,
anything could happen. Anything could happen. Well, we have reached the end of this adventure, this journey. Josh, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
Oh my god, this was a blast. I'm sad it's over.
Dude,
me too, man.
Yeah. This is so much fun. And yeah, will you do us as just a quick reminder to shout out where everybody can find all your stuff and all your links and everything that you want to get plugged in, and I'll add them into the description on the episode as well.
Sweet. It's just lunchmeatvhs.com and at lunchmeatvhs and all the social media. I haven't done any TikTok yet, guys. I got to get on that. I feel like that's the new thing.
I can tell you that in my household, it is the number one most used social media by 50% of the people who live here. So just my wife. And I can tell you that if you make a TikTok, someone will fucking watch it, is what I've learned. Someone out there is fucking ready to watch it, dude. And likely someone out there will have quite a bit to say about it, too. I think it's cool. I'd be all for a lunch meat TikTok. Might even get me to get a TikTok. Who knows? Hey. Probably not, but I'd be stoked if you had one.
Right. I think I should.
Well, hell yeah, all right, guys.
All right, Josh. Thanks again, dude.
Yeah, man.
All right, guys. Yeah, later, dude.
All right, now. And then if you click here, all you got to do is hit the red button, and we're good to go.
All right.
Yeah, dude.
Later, bye. Josh.
Bye. All right, just click right here to subscribe to the channel, and right there for Joel's last week episode. And yeah. Y'all have a great one. I love you, Joel.
I love you, buddy. I'll text you.
All right, bye. I show what you